As Christians, we are expected to actively go and make disciples. So we go and we make disciples, followers of Jesus. These are people who embrace and spread the teachings of Jesus. And the process by which we make disciples is we baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and we teach them to obey everything that God or that Jesus had commanded us. And so we are in the midst of a vision launching of better focusing our Sunday schools, our small groups, our ministry teams, so that we can be a better disciple-making church. With this intentional effort, we are incorporating a unifying term for these three resources that we have already working, already existing, and that is discipleship teams. And that's an MCC group who joins together in a cooperative effort to embrace and spread the teachings and lifestyle of Jesus through Bible study, through fellowship, and through service. That's what a discipleship team is here. Sunday schools all involve those things. The small groups all involve those things. Our ministry teams involve two of the three on all of them, and some of them all three, hopefully, as this starts to permeate through, that some of our ministry team leaders will start to incorporate a little more Bible study involved in their ministry team meetings and the times when they gather to serve. So in this nine-week series, we're just basically breaking that down into a number of different ways or a number of different pieces using the last part of our vision statement. We've been working through our vision statement through the summer, and the last part of our vision statement, the whole vision statement is in your bulletin, and the last part of it talks about serving, transforming, and reproducing. So we're talking about how Bible study, fellowship, and service, they all result in serving. And so those are the first 3 weeks. Next 3 weeks, which we are in the middle of those, right in the middle of those, is how Bible study, fellowship, and service all should result in transforming. And then the last 3 weeks, we'll be talking about how Bible study, fellowship, and service should all reproduce other disciples, other Christians. So Bible study, fellowship, and service, all elements of our Sunday schools, our small groups, and very easily could be all elements in our ministry teams. So this week we're talking about the importance of studying the Bible in a discipleship team and in one or more of these different types of groups. Personal Bible study, you know, we'll go way over here to this side of things where it's just alone, just you and God, personal Bible study. That is essential for the intimate growth that a disciple needs and should have. We go way over here to this side of things, and right here in this room, in a large group setting, whether it be here or going to a conference or hearing, you know, a keynote speaker somewhere, these are all opportunities to be able to grow and learn and be challenged and motivated here on a Sunday morning on a regular basis to try and keep our church on one vision and one mission together. And that is the purpose of being able to study God's Word here in a large group. But Bible study in a Sunday school, or Bible study in a small group, or Bible study in a ministry team, it's different than either of those two. It adds in a whole other element that we all need. It's important because when we study in a group that's a smaller size, then there's discussion that happens. We share how certain passages have applied, do apply, or could apply to our lives. We share how it affects us on a personal level, and we can all grow from that. And we need that. This type of discussion, having a Bible study venue like a discipleship team, a small group, Sunday school, a ministry team, it provides accountability. See, Bible study by itself, Bible study transforms. That's what it'll do. Personal Bible study in a large group format like here, it will transform because God's word will not come back void. But one of the things that small groups or Sunday schools or ministry teams, Bible study in that type of group, one of the things that provides that neither of these other two can provide is it provides accountability. And so that's what we're talking about today, is about how adult or how Bible study in a discipleship group adds accountability to the mix, transforming by accountability in the Word. So pray with me. Father, we are we're expectant today to be fed, to grow from your word, to be stretched, to be strengthened, to be encouraged, to be motivated. Father, I hope that you help us to see all the these different ways that we're looking at today of how accountability in our Bible study is important. Open our hearts, open our minds, as we open our eyes and ears to your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So Bible study. Bible study with a discipleship team can provide accountability that instigates healthy transformations. Last week we talked about how sometimes we have transformations that aren't so good and transformations that are good. And the goal as us growing and working together, we want to have as many good transformations as possible. And our discipleship teams are going to be able to help in that a lot. And Bible study with a discipleship team can provide accountability that instigates healthy transformations. In Matthew chapter 13, in Mark chapter 4, and in Luke chapter 8, all three of those passages, they record a parable that Jesus told about God's word. We're going to go to Luke's version of that parable. Luke chapter 8, he says, "While a large crowd was gathering and people were coming to Jesus from town after town, he told this parable. A farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path. It was trampled on, and the birds of the air came, and the birds of the air ate it up. Some fell on rock. When it came up, the plants withered because they had no moisture. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up with it and choked the plants. Still other seed fell on good soil. It came up and yielded a crop 100 times more than what was sown." When he said this, he called out, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." And then if we skip down a few verses, we get to Jesus' explanation of this parable. He says this is the meaning of the parable. The seed is the word of God. Those along the path are the ones who hear, and the devil comes and takes them away, or comes and takes away the word from their hearts, so that they may not believe and be saved. Those on the rock are the ones who receive the word with joy when they hear it, but they have no root. They believe for a while, but in the time of testing, they fall away. The seed that fell among the thorns stands for those who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked out. They are choked by life's worries, riches, and pleasures. They do not mature. The seed on the good soil stands for those with a noble and good heart who hear the word, retain it, and by persevering, produce a crop. Now, I think we would all like to be considered good soil. But the truth is, we all probably have traces, and that's being very nice, of each of these different types of soils in our lives. And some of us have been hardened like the path. We've been walked on, we've been driven over, matted down, trampled on. We often try to compartmentalize a hard heart. We place our hard heart over here and our connection with God over here. We try to ignore that the hardness of our heart will keep God's word from really growing in our life, but it will, and it will affect your closeness, your connection to God. Some of us are missing out on the depth that we should have in our spiritual life. We are missing roots. We know that we should be in the word more. We know that we should pray more. We know that we should serve more. All of these things help to deepen our faith. They help us to grow roots. But oftentimes we put them off. We say, you know, I'll spend time in the Bible tomorrow. Or we think to ourselves that a personal prayer time would be nice, but I just don't have time today, maybe tomorrow. Or serving would be a way of practicing how to live and act like Jesus. And that would help deepen my relationship with God, and it would provide growth in my spiritual life, and that would all be healthy. That would all be great. I just don't have time for it right now. I'll do it tomorrow. In words of CCR, tomorrow never comes. Tomorrow's always tomorrow. This is dangerous because without growing those roots and growing them deep, then when the time of testings come in our life, we will wither up. We won't be able to stand through them. Some of us have let thorns grow in our garden. We have worries of this world, money worries, house worries, work worries, people worries, health worries. There's a lot of worries out there. Or riches and pleasure is another thing that Jesus described the thorns as in Luke 8. Guys, we have cars, we have power tools, we have electronics, big screen TVs, expensive hobbies. Ladies, you have clothes. Manicures and pedicures, right? Pleasures of this life. Expensive hairdos. I mean, guys just don't get why it costs so much for you guys to have your hair done. Am I speaking for the guys? It's just a haircut. But get it. That's one of those things. Shoes, shoes, and shoes. And these things aren't bad. They're in and of themselves, they're not evil. They're not bad, but when they're left unchecked and concerns become worries or riches and pleasures become our God, then they can easily become thorns in our lives and they choke out the word of God in us. We'd all like to sit here on a Sunday morning and feel real good about ourselves and the condition of our soils, but our soil isn't always in the best of shape. Something I've seen in my years, something I've noticed in my years being involved in churches, is that when smaller groups study God's word together, along with the discussions, along with the sharing the applications that it's had in their personal lives, along with sharing the personal reflections and connections that they've got to certain passages, the different passages that you're discussing in those groups, there's an accountability in studying God's word in a smaller group, an accountability that you don't get in personal Bible study because it's just you and God. And in here, there's a certain anonymity that happens because you can kind of hide. You can be a wallflower in a large group. But in a smaller group, when you're studying God's word, there's an accountability that happens there. In a Sunday school, a small group, or a ministry team, a discipleship team. See, accountability tills the soil. It's going to write that down. Accountability tills the soil. We want to have good soil. And accountability helps to provide that. Close relationships with trusted Christian brothers and sisters is one of the most effective ways to improve soil quality. So we can work on our own to till our soil, and that's a lot of work. We can sit in here and hope that the Holy Spirit tills it, but there's a missing element in there, and that's having Christian brothers that are close enough to us, Christian sisters that are close enough to us, that they can help work with our soil with us. Close Christian relationships in a small group environment, a Sunday school small group ministry team, in a discipleship team environment, it helps to soften a hard heart. It helps us to grow deeper roots. It helps us to handle the things in our lives that could turn into thorns and choke the word of God out. A good Christian friendship is the best tiller out there. Friendships that are formed in discipleship teams, they can be very, very good for the quality of our soil. They get close enough to help us see when our hearts are hard and we're in danger of not allowing the word to grow in us. They help us with accountability and being able to serve, to be in God's word, to pray together. Having that group that meets on a certain time of the week or a certain day or what whenever your group meets, there's that accountability to go and do it. Where personal Bible study, it's easy to put it off till tomorrow. And here, it's easy to just kind of come in and go out. But in a small group, in a Sunday school, in a ministry team, when you're studying God's word together, that can help us to be able to grow stronger, deeper roots. A group like that can help us to see, and not only see, but to help us in our battle against the thorns in our life so that they don't choke out the word of God. So that they don't cause any serious damage in our walk with God. Accountability uses biblical standards to measure against. That's how we are accountable. That's how we accomplish accountability. The Word of God is the judge. Let's write that down. The Word of God judges. Give you guys a moment. We'll go to Hebrews chapter 4. Accountability uses biblical standards to measure against, and the Word of God judges. That's our measure. We'll read about that in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. It says, "For the Word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates, even dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and the attitudes of the heart. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of Him to whom we must give account." See, our ultimate accountability is to God. No arguments there. That's very clearly stated in multiple places, but especially right here in this passage we just read. It's God's word that judges. It's His word that our standards are to be set by. That's the measure we use. It's God's word. When we hold each other accountable, we are simply holding each other to a set of standards that we claim to follow as disciples. It doesn't mean that we are the judge. It doesn't mean that we are judgmental in doing that. When we get into relationships so they're close enough that we can have this kind of accountability, then we use biblical standards to measure against. It's God's word that judges. Discipleship teams can be a big part in this as they study the Bible together. Studying the Bible together in a Sunday school, studying the Bible together in a small group or a ministry team, it offers a level of accountability that is not gained here during a sermon or in your personal Bible study. Because in a small group setting, in a discipleship team setting, relationships are built, relationships are developed. And relationships develop certain liberties that allow us to remind each other of the standard we are measured against. Those relationships, they develop certain liberties that allow us to remind each other of the standard that we are measured against. The relationships we build in our discipleship teams, they open doors in our lives. These relationships, they get closer and stronger, and we let our guard down, we let our walls down, we become vulnerable when we grow into a group like this. When we're safe, when we're in a trusted group. And that can be a very, very powerful way to remind each other of the standard that we are measured against during our Bible study time together. Something that doesn't happen in either of these other two venues that we've talked about. But as we are doing that, we must keep in mind that it is God's word that judges, not us. So there's a certain amount that, and this is needed, this accountability. But the guides on that is to understand that I'm not the one that judges. It's God's word that judges, and that's the measure that we're using. Matthew chapter 7, Jesus talks about this. He says, "Do not judge, or you too will be judged. For in the same way you judge others, you will be judged, and with the measure you use, it will be measured to you." So we aren't to judge. God's word is what does the judging. That's where the judgment comes from. That's our measuring tool. That's what the measure is. The measure that you use, it will be measured to you. And that measure is God's word. That's what we measure ourselves against. And that's what we are to keep each other accountable to. This is actually a passage about accountability. And we're going to touch on that here. We'll keep reading. "Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, 'Let me take that speck out of your eye, take the speck out of your eye,' when all the time there's a plank in your own eye? You hypocrite. First, take the plank out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to do what? Remove the speck from your brother's eye." Sometimes we forget that little part's there. We love the "don't judge, or you too will be judged. Don't worry about my speck. You take the log out of your own eye." So we have to be careful when we're offering accountability, for sure. But Jesus supports accountability, and this passage is a key passage in being able to look at that and see that. Jesus does not say that if we see the speck in our brother's eye, we should just leave it there, does he? He says that we should get the log out of our own eye first, so that the purpose of getting the log out of our own eye is so that we can help our brother get the speck out of his or her eye, our brother or sister. So we are supposed to help our brothers and sisters in Christ with the specks in their eyes. We are supposed to help each other with the specks in our eyes. But we have to remember that it's not I who is doing the judging. It's God's word that judges. That's the standard. That's the measure. And using this principle that Jesus is sharing, that's a great way to be reminded of that every time we go in to try and help our brother or sister, to be able to go in and look at ourselves in the mirror and look at our log and say, okay, God's word is the measure. He's the judge. I want to make sure that I'm aligned the best I can be, so that I can better help my brother or my sister. And that helps to shape our attitude going into it. It helps to remind us that we're not perfect. It helps to remind us that it's God's word that's the measure, not our own opinions. So let's write that down. When we go to a brother or sister, we must keep in mind that God's word is the measure, not our own opinions. And that helps to shape it. When we look at our own log and we use the measure of God's word to judge that, then it helps us to go into that time of accountability together without it being our own opinions, because that's when it becomes judgmental. So it would be important for us to have a good grasp on this measuring tool. We get that through all the different forms of Bible study, getting close to God, our personal Bible study, our Bible study in discipleship teams, or our Bible study right here in this room. But we need to have a good grasp on that measuring tool if we're going to be any good for each other, if we're going to provide any kind of accountability for each other. Paul says in Colossians, he says, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom. And as you sing songs, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God." Paul tells his readers to let the word of Christ live in them richly. The reason for that is so that they will just be all that much better, or they'll be able to walk out of a Sunday morning service, or walk out of a personal Bible study feeling better about themselves because they've... The purpose that Paul says, that let the word of Christ dwell in you richly so that you can teach. That's the purpose of it. As you teach and admonish each other with all wisdom. So God's word has to live in us if we are going to help others with it. God's word has to live in us if we're going to help others with it. That's the only way you're going to be able to help teach and admonish each other, is if God's word lives inside of you. Jesus said, go and make disciples. And the way that we make disciples is we baptize them and we do what? Teach. That's not just for, three or four people in the church. That's a commission to the church. Go and make disciples, baptizing them and teaching them. We should all dwell in the word at such a level that we can teach each other and we can provide this. Some have been given the gift of teachers. Absolutely, that's biblical. But it doesn't mean that no one else needs to know or have the ability to be able to teach God's word to each other. We need to be able to teach and admonish each other. And the way we do that is God's word lives in us. Another thing about accountability, or another thing that accountability does, is that accountability encourages spiritual progression in our growth. A forward progression, spiritual progression in our growth. In Hebrews chapter 5, the Hebrews writer holds his readers accountable to where they should be in their spiritual growth, in this progression where they should be. He says, "We have much to say about this, but it is hard to explain because you're slow to learn. In fact, though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you the elementary truths of God's word all over again. You need milk, not solid food. Anyone who lives on milk, being still an infant, is not acquainted with the teaching about righteousness. But solid food is for the mature, who by constant use have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil. So the writer of Hebrews, he had a relationship with these people that he was writing to, a relationship enough that he knew some things about them. He knew how long they had been part of the faith. He knew that by this time they should be teachers themselves, but they're not. He knew that they should be at a certain place, but they weren't there. They were missing the mark. They got stuck in a cycle, in a circle of infancy. They needed someone to teach them, and not just the advanced stuff. They were being taught the same elementary truths over and over and over again. Well, basics, you need to return to basics every once in a while and be reminded of your foundation. But if that's all you spend your time in, that's not healthy. And Paul brings that up, the writer of Hebrews shares this. And so he provides this kind of accountability and says, you guys should be growing. You should be progressing further than where you are. And that's something that the same thing that can happen in our discipleship teams. When we get to know each other and we watch each other grow, then we'll be able to offer accountability in this way also. We should be able to encourage spiritual progression and growth and be able to remind each other, hey, you know what? How long have you been a Christian? Shouldn't we be past this? Shouldn't we be on doing some other things? Shouldn't we be moving forward? And that kind of accountability that happens in smaller groups, in discipleship teams. In James, he talks about what Bible study should and should not be, or should not result in, rather. He says, do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like a man who looks at his face in a mirror, and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But the man who looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues to do this, not forgetting what he has heard, but doing it, he will be blessed in what he does. So here's another thing we can do through accountability, is that accountability helps us to do what the word says. When we're in personal Bible study and we read something and we're convicted by the Holy Spirit and we say, you know what, I really ought to do that, it's easier to walk away and forget about what we just read. We shouldn't, but it's a little easier to do it there. Over here, in a large group setting, there's this anonymity that happens here where you can be challenged, you can be motivated, you can be inspired by a message or by some part of the message or by a scripture or by a song or special music or whatever that happens in here that's based out of God's word. And you can be inspired by that and still walk out of these doors without the accountability to follow through with it. But what happens in these discipleship teams, in your Sunday schools, and your small groups, and your ministry teams, is that when you study something and you talk about it and you say as a group, you know what, we should be doing more of this, or we should do this, or we should be doing this, or we should not be doing this, or not be involved in this, whatever it is, you've discussed that, you've shared it in a group that's small enough that there, you don't have the anonymity that you have in a large group. You don't have the privacy that you have in just a personal Bible study. There's an accountability there to do what the word says. Some people have, they have workout partners because they know that if it were left up to themselves to work out in their own house, they wouldn't do it. If they just signed up to go to a gym and they went to a large group setting, they might not do it. But they get a personal trainer, which is kind of funny because they pay for the gym and then they pay for a personal trainer. And the reason for that, what they're paying for, some nutritional information, some help on how to do this or how to do that, but really the top priority, really what they're paying for is accountability. Accountability. And it's to do what they need to be doing. And for us, accountability in God's word helps us to be able to accomplish what James is talking about here and to avoid not doing what James says that we shouldn't do. That we should read God's word and we should do it. And with accountability involved, we're going to be more likely to do what we've studied together as a small group, as a Sunday school, as a ministry team. We're going to be more likely to do what God's word says there because of the accountability than we would in one of these other two venues. So Bible study and discipleship teams, Sunday school, small groups, or ministry teams. It can provide accountability that cannot be found in a large group or a personal study. Accountability that will improve the quality of your soil so that you will be more fertile for God's word to be able to grow in you. Accountability that is based out of God's standards because that's what you're studying together. Accountability to grow spiritually, to progress, to move forward, to be where you should be in your walk. And accountability to put into practice what you've studied together as a group. Transforming by accountability in the word.